I was expecting the world-renowned educator and astrophysicist Clifford Stoll to talk about astrophysics, or how he tracked down a KGB spy ring, or just how he makes an elegant mathematical wonder known as a Klein bottle. I wasn't expecting Stoll to talk about a woman who the newspapers had once called Pretty Grace Fryer. Grace Fryer died young of a terrible cancer. Cliff Stoll had been immersed at the library that morning reading about Pretty Grace Fryer because just the day before, he had discovered that a glow-in-the-dark wristwatch in a small box in his bedroom was highly radioactive.
A grandparent had given us a wristwatch with a radium dial, glow-in-the-dark dial. Came out of a sort of estate. Hey, this for you, this for you, this for you. And we ended up with a radium dial watch in our bedroom, stuck off in a corner. Didn't even think about it. And it was hot. This was not some little, oh, it was a hunk of radium there from 1927, the anniversary of Charles Lindbergh's flight. And this thing had been ticking away. And of course, all these images of the radium dial painters, the radium girls, the old ideas of, oh, these poor women who got cancer from licking, from painting the dials of radium watches and then licking their paintbrushes and dipping them into the radium paint, painting another few numerals and sharpening it, going in. Of course, you know the story of the radium girls.
Actually, I didn't know the story of the Radium Girls. And in case you don't know it either, or you want to listen to it once again, here's Cliff Stoll.
The Radium Girls were painting dials of watches from 1920 to 1940. They were at the beginning of the labor safety movement. We owe OSHA regulations today, occupational health and safety, to these poor women who were painting radium onto wristwatches while their employers knew that this was fantastically dangerous work. Their employers, the guys who owned and ran the company, wouldn't go near the radium. They'd be dressed in lead shielding. The scientists working there were aware of the dangers of working with radium, but they never told the girls who were doing the painting of the radium dials. So I knew this from American labor history. Here I am, I'm walking around my house with a scintillation counter and all of a sudden go bzzz, and I find this radium dialed wristwatch in my bedroom. I look at it, bzzz. So I get a pair of tongs, hold it out, get another pair of tongs, open up the box. There it is, the Lucky Lindbergh New York to Paris aviator flight commemorative wristwatch. Must have been made 1927, 1928. Glow in the dark, radium painted wristwatch. I'm looking at it saying, it's not just radioactive and it's been laying around my house, but this could well have been painted by these very radium girls who gave their lives because this employer wouldn't inform them of the dangers of what they were doing. Well, all this happened yesterday. So my wife comes home last night and say, Pat, I don't want to tell you this, don't be alarmed, but radium dial, wristwatch, bedroom.
To show just how he found this radioactivity, Cliff Stoll got out his radiation testing device. It's called a scintillation counter. He said it's always beeping some because of cosmic rays from the sun.
In fact, secondary cosmic. The background right now is 900 or so counts per minute. Normal background, no problem.
That scintillation counter increases its ticking for something very common in most homes, something in the ceiling.
What's going on?
It was a smoke detector which notices smoke when it passes through the slightly radioactive detector's ion beam. For something with more radiation, Cliff Stoll went out to his garden. He unlocked a little shed and he pointed to a small cardboard box, no bigger than the size of your palm. It made the radiation counter go like this.
What's in the box? You know, it's an obvious question. It makes that little smoke detector look like there's nothing there. Here.
He handed over a long pair of tongs.
Here. Grab it.
At arm's length, using the tongs, we carried the little cardboard box to an outdoor bench.
Right over here.
We used the tongs to lift the lid, and there was a little wristwatch with a green-colored dial. It was spiking the scintillation counter at about 20,000, 30,000.
It's kind of warm, isn't it?
That's nearly 40 times higher than normal background radiation. From a respectful distance, we took another look at the radioactive watch.
There's a picture of Lindbergh's airplane. It talks about, fly across the ocean. And the green paint on it is radium.
The green radioactive paint, the Lucky Lindy story, it all harkened back to 1927 when Charles Lindbergh became the first person ever to fly nonstop from New York to Paris.
Lucky Lindy, up in the sky, fair or windy, he's flying high.
The whole world loved Lucky Lindy. But what about the young women who painted glow-in-the-dark Lucky Lindy watches? To learn more about them, I talked with Denver's Regis University poet, Eleanor Swanson.
They were just girls. They made a penny and a half a dial, painting all day long.
I've seen a picture where, since it was in their faces, where they were licking the paint brushes, her jaw is grotesque.
It is grotesque. It's a graphic depiction of the cancerous jaw.
It's a jaw that is probably 10 times larger than a normal jaw, dropping to halfway down toward the collarbone because it's filled with so much cancer and death.
They really did call her Pretty Grace Fryer, and she had been pretty.
From her book, A Thousand Bonds, Eleanor Swanson reads a poem.
Radium girls. We sat at long tables side by side in a big, dusty room where we laughed and carried on until they told us to pipe down and paint. The running joke was how we glowed, the handkerchiefs we sneezed into, lighting up our purses when we opened them at night, our lips and nails painted for our boyfriends as a lark, simmering white as ash in a dark room. Would you die for science? The reporter asked us, Edna and me, the main ones in the papers. Science? We mixed up glue, water, and radium powder into a glowing greenish-white paint and painted watch dials with a little brush, one number after another, taking one dial after another all day long from the racks sitting next to our chairs. After a few strokes, the brush lost its shape, and our bosses told us to point it with our lips. Was that science? I quit the watch factory to work in a bank and thought I'd gotten class, more money, a better life, until I lost a tooth in back and two in front and my jaw filled up with sores. We sued, Edna, Catherine, Quinta, Larice, and me. But when we got to court, not one of us could raise our arms to take the oath. My teeth were gone by then. Pretty Grace Fryer, they called me in the papers. All of us were dying. We heard the scientist in France, Marie Curie, could not believe the manner in which we worked and how we tasted that pretty paint 100 times a day. Now even our crumbling bones will glow forever in the black earth.
Back at his home in Oakland, the astrophysicist Clifford Stoll had also talked about the radium girls.
Their employers would hush up everything, and they'd have them buried at anonymous funerals, quietly. People who owned the Radium Company of America would say, these girls, they died of syphilis, or they died of diphtheria, they died of venereal disease, when in fact they were dying of radioactive in their bodies. This one girl whose teeth were falling out, like age 22, sued the company. The company put on a huge defense. It made it into all the papers, and she eventually won, and she died like a week later. This was the foundation of the Occupational Health and Safety Acts of America, where people sat back and said, wait a second, you can't allow workers to deal with dangerous things like radium without at least informing them and protecting them. Today, of course, there are glow-in-the-dark products that have no radioactives at all in them. In fact, there's some truly wonderful fluorescent and glow-in-the-dark things that kids use that are just terrific. They use europium and barium salts that are really neat. This is happily old history. But every now and then, a little thing crops up to say, oh, our relationship with radioactive products that glow in the dark still needs to be watched.
Cliff Stoll said that the very next day, he would take his Lucky Lindy watch to a radiological disposal center, and he might smash the watch face first to reduce the chance that someone there might be tempted to pocket it. And having had this unexpected encounter with the Radium Girls, it leaves me with the feeling of, where else are they? Where is this happening with worker rights? Where is this happening with some kind of science which we think may be okay, but really it isn't? And someone knows it. But are they telling us about it? For KGNU, I'm Shelley Schlender.